Hello, you are listening to Food for Thought here on Siren 107.3 FM. I'm Charlotte Reed, and each week I find out about local food restaurants and cafes for you to try out for yourself. This week I will find out how and why people in Lincoln are celebrating Burns Night, as well as how Birch and Road Chippy are preparing for their national award ceremony.
This is Siren FM.
On Thursday night in London, 10 fish and chip shops from around the country will find out which of them is the best. Representing the east of England is Lincoln's own Burton Road Chippy. So to find out how they managed to get into the final and how they feel about the big day, I went to the restaurant and met up with the owner Des Anastasio. I started by asking him what it feels like to be in the top 10 chip shops in the country.
We're very proud of the award that we won. We won the East of England region. So we're in the top 10 chippies in the country. And obviously we're looking forward to the final, which is next Thursday. And we're really, really excited. At the same time, we're a little bit nervous, but I suppose it's expected.
And so what's actually happening on the Thursday at the award ceremony?
On Thursday, each finalist will have like a half an hour slot to present the business to the judges. It's a 10-minute presentation slot and then 20 minutes for the judges to ask us various questions relating to the fish and chip industry. And depending on the answers we give, I suppose, then they choose the overall winner.
And you were saying you find that a bit nervous because it's slightly out of what you normally do.
That's right. It's not the sort of thing we do every day or every week or every year, for instance. It's something new to us. At the end of the day, we fry fish and chips. We love frying fish and chips. Presentations, I'm not so sure, but we're going to give it our best shot.
And so to actually get to this stage, there were a lot of other regionals and other sort of sections that you had to win. So how did it all start off then?
It started off with obviously entering the competition back in April. And you do like a written presentation. You send it off to Seafish, the authority of running the fish and chip competition awards. They look at that, then they choose out from that, they choose the best five shops in each region. Then you have a mystery shopper that comes in your shop. They buy fish and chips, obviously. They have the fish and chips, and then they come back and make themselves known to you. And then they go around with a toothbrush, checking the premises, making sure everything is spotlessly clean, about staff training. They look into all the records that we have, i.e. cleaning rotors, staff training, health and safety, the whole lot. It's quite an extensive test to go through.
So it's not just the quality of your product, it's the whole shop and the whole area.
That's right. I mean, obviously the main thing it is the quality of the fish and chips that we produce, but they don't just look at that, because a lot of chippies do produce good fish and chips. They look at every other aspect of the running of a fish and chip shop. So it is quite a strict competition.
And when you first put yourself forward, did you think that you would get this far, or was it just for a bit of fun?
No, we had high hopes, to be honest. We said that we'd be really happy to win the regional, which we have done now. So to us, it's a massive achievement. If we win the national, even better.
And what was the mystery shopper like? Did you kind of know when the mystery shopper was going to come in, and were you sort of looking at everybody thinking, it could be them, it could be them?
Yes, we didn't know when it was going to come, no. And every time, a lot of our customers are regular customers, so every time somebody came in the shop that we wasn't sure about, we kept thinking, oh, is that the mystery shopper? Is that the... And then one day, obviously, he appeared and he made himself known to us. But we enjoy being in a competition. We enjoy the thrill of it. We find that it keeps us on our toes. In turn, we keep our staff on their toes. So it's good for business. It's like when you're competing in any business, you tend to raise your game, and that's why we enter these competitions. So whatever we win the national or not, we feel that we achieved a lot. We raised our standards.
And so do you know much about your competition? Have you been sort of looking them up?
I do know quite a lot, actually, because we won the regional, the two gold finalists over to Norway on a trip to learn about sustainability, fish sustainability, and frozen at sea fish. So I met all the other 10 finalists. So I do know them by name and face, if you like. They're all a nice bunch of lads, and we enjoyed the trip to Norway a lot. I enjoyed their company. So I'm looking forward to seeing them all in London again, actually. It'd be nice to meet up again with them.
Were you all just sort of talking normally, or were you sort of all sizing one another up whilst you were on the trip?
No, I think we was all normal. I was normal anyway, because I was there to learn something new, and also we enjoyed Norway itself. Beautiful place. We had a few laughs together, so I don't think there was any of that, how like, what's he like or what's she like, or, you know, it was a nice friendly bunch.
And so what was the trip to Norway like? Because you kind of, as well as getting the benefit of awards and titles, as it's put by, you know, you're also sort of learning more about the industry that you're in as well.
That's right. I mean, at the moment, fish sustainability is a big issue, because if we don't look after our fish stocks, we want our fish for a long time to come. So we learn a lot on that trip, and I have to say the Norwegians, they implemented fish sustainability from back in the 80s, and now they're reaping the rewards. They got plenty of fish and we haven't. So really we ought to learn from that, and as an industry put something into practice to preserve our fish stocks.
So is that something that's also important to you and the restaurant, not just getting the best sort of meals out there for people, but also paying attention to how to get the best ingredients and how to be good to the environment as well?
That's right, yes. I mean, I have to say, a few years ago, not many customers asked anything about fish sustainability, for instance. Nowadays, we're finding more and more customers actually asking, where is our fish coming from? Is it from sustainable sources? Because people are actually beginning to realize that if we don't look after the fish stocks, we're not going to have fish. So it's becoming more of a topic with our customers to talk about. And the trip to Norway, what has done is helped us to understand it even more, so we can relay that message to our customers. The other issue with customers is the environment, for instance. A few years ago, nobody bothered about it. Now people are getting more and more knowledgeable about it, and they're asking questions. Do we recycle? Yes, we do. We've got a high-efficiency frying range, for instance, where it uses half of the amount of gas that the old one used to use. So we are looking into the environment a lot more nowadays as a business, and like I said, the customers are even asking questions now, so we have to have the knowledge to be able to answer to them.
So obviously the customer and what the customer wants is very important to you as a restaurant, because you've also brought in gluten-free evenings and things like that. So is always the customer sort of pushing you to bring in new things?
That's right. In general, the customers of today are more demanding, and it's up to us as an industry to identify the demands of the customers and meet those demands. Otherwise, we will fall behind. We're not just a normal little chippy, for instance. We like to look into what our customers want, not what we want to sell. What do our customers want from us? And we always try and listen to that.
And so when you first opened, did you know all along that the customer was going to be the most important thing, or were you kind of thinking, this is what we want to do and we're going to try and get people to really like it, or was the customer always important from the sort of start?
Obviously, the fish and chips, the traditional fish and chips is the customer's favourite, and it will always remain that. So yes, we opened selling, serving traditional fish and chips, fried, deep fried in butter with chips, you know. But then we realized, especially having the restaurant and being able to talk to our customers longer while they're sitting down having their meal, for instance, we realized that there are people out there that they don't really like the fish and chips, traditional fish and chips. So we're offering, for instance, poached fish, pan-fried fish, different ways to meet the demands of our customers. We had people coming in, say, couples coming in, and one of them will have the traditional fish and chips, and the other one will ask for a poached fish now, because they don't really like it. So it's up to us to meet those demands.
Why did you decide to open up the Burton Road Chippy to start off with?
Well, we've been on Burton Road for about 10 years now. We used to be a little bit further up in a smaller shop, which was just a takeaway. And about 2.5 years ago, we moved on to these premises. And the reason we moved to Burton Road is we like the area, basically. It's a heavily populated area. And although it is more or less in the middle of Lincoln, it has a village feel to it, if you know what I mean. Everybody knows everybody. And it's a nice, very nice environment to be in and be part of. And that's the main reason we moved to Burton Road.
I like the sort of restaurant here because it makes it look very different to what you'd expect from a fish and chip shop. Is that sort of something that was quite important to you?
Yes, we wanted to have a nice, smart, clean restaurant. And we did have actually, while it was being built for us, we had a lot of influence on the actual design and layout of the restaurant by talking to the architects that were involved at the time. So a lot of what you see is our ideas put into practice by the architects.
And you run this place with your partner.
Yes.
Is that something that's, you know, it's like working with people that you spend all your time with?
It gets quite heated actually working with Leslie, but we love it. We love the hassle and bustle of running the shop together. Yeah, sometimes we have our off days and that, but in general, we love it. We've been doing it now for a long, long time. Together, combined experience together is about 50 years between us, so yes, we're all hands.
And so what was the reaction from your sort of regular customers when you said that you were nominating yourselves for the best fish and chip shop?
It was very good, actually. Most of our customers wished us good luck, and now that we're in the final, more and more customers are coming in the shop and saying, oh, good luck for next week. It's rewarding when you get comments from the customers.
And so what's the most important thing to you when running your fish and chip shop?
The most important thing to me, we've been in the business for a long time, and thank God fish and chips has given us a comfortable living. But nothing gives us more pleasure and satisfaction when our customers come back to us and say things like, I really enjoyed that fish and chips, that was the best I ever had, or it was fantastic, or top notch, or, you know, that gives us pleasure and the will to carry on. Our customer's satisfaction is our satisfaction. That's the only way I can describe it. It's a nice feeling.
How will things change, or will anything change, now that you've been a finalist for the best fish and chip shop?
I don't think we will change a lot, to be honest. We just have to carry on doing what we're doing, making sure everything is spot on, as usual. Because if we do win the national, people, new customers, will be coming to us with high expectations. And I think it's important that we maintain our standards, if not improve our standards, to meet those expectations. As far as changes are concerned, I don't think a lot will change. We just carry on doing what we're doing with a bit more passion and energy, I suppose, like I said, to meet the expectation of our new customers and old, obviously.
That was me chatting to Des Anastasio, who owns the Burton Road Chippy. They will find out later this week if they are the best chip shop in the country at an awards ceremony in London. So good luck to them, and of course, no matter how they do, I will catch up with them on the show to find out how the day went.
On 107.3 FM, this is Siren FM.
You are listening to Food for Thought here on Siren 107.3 FM. Burns Night is a day to celebrate the life of the Scottish poet Robert Burns. His work is commemorated on his birthday, the 25th of January, which this year is Friday. A Burns supper is traditionally eaten as part of the festivities of the day and is usually made up of haggis, whisky and reciting some of his poetry. Burns suppers are quite common in Scotland and Northern Ireland, but sometimes the day is celebrated here in England too. Bishop Grotest has for the past few years held a Burns night, which is in part organised by the Vice-Chancellor, Professor Muriel Robinson, and she explains to me why the university started having these Scottish dinners.
I think you'd have to blame me, really. Going way back to when I arrived here, nearly 10 years ago, Burns Night is something that we had started to keep in our family for a whole series of reasons. We had Scottish-Mexican friends and things like that, so we started doing it. And so when I came here, I was keen to keep it going. And we started off very low-key, just with a meal in the house for the Students' Union exec and the chaplaincy people. Gradually, it's grown into something that we do as a fundraising event, to the point where this year, I think we've got the most people coming ever. We've got 120 people, and we're sold out.
And so how are you actually celebrating it this
year, then? Well, we do the whole thing. I mean, if you check out Burns Night on any website, you'll see all the things that you're supposed to do. We start off with the Selkirk Grace, and then the haggis is processed in with pipers, and somebody reads the address to the haggis, and it gets stabbed. And there are various other things happen during the evening. There's the Immortal Memory, where we celebrate the memory of Robert Burns, and we listen to some of his poetry, and usually some of his songs. There's a toast to the lasses, usually fairly light-hearted, led by one of the men, and a response on behalf of the lasses, equally light-hearted usually, and usually a little bit of gender stereotyping, joking going on in that. And then after the meal, we actually have a ceilidh band, and we do some Scottish dancing. And then, of course, the meal is the centre part of it, and the meal is very, very traditional Scottish. We have a choice to start with of potato and leek soup, or something called Cullen's Skink, which is a traditional Scottish fish soup. Then you can have haggis or vegetarian haggis, or for the wimps, the salmon, you know, or the people who just really don't like haggis, I should say. And then there's a Scottish pudding called Cranachan or fruit salad. And, you know, and whiskey at various points during the evening to toast all the various things. And generally a very good time is had by all.
And so how did you come up with the menu then? Is it just because it's traditional?
I mean, if this is what happens at Burns Night Suppers. It's you have haggis and neeps and tatties, which is sort of mashed sweet and potato. And so we just stick with the traditional menu, really.
And how do you think people of Lincoln, who maybe aren't used to things that people would eat in Scotland, are going to react to haggis?
Well, I'd say this must be about the sixth one we've done like this as a formal meal, and people come back, so I think they like it. I mean, I have to say, haggis took me a couple of times to think, yes, I'm going to eat this, but it is actually delicious. And it's cooked very well by our kitchens, and most people will have haggis and most people will enjoy it. And it's interesting that people really do go for it.
You were saying there about the kitchen staff. Have they come used to doing the sort of Scottish Burns Night menu each year for a year?
Yes, so this is the fifth or sixth one that we've done. It's got bigger every year. But yes, they are perfectly used to it now. And usually it's one of our chefs who parades the haggis in and holds it up for it to be stabbed. And I think they enjoy that as well, yes.
Would you like to mention any more about the fundraising? Because I read about that and that's quite interesting.
Basically, we have a fund where we try and make sure we've got some money to support students who want to do worthwhile things. So say they want to go off and work in a school in Africa in the summer for a bit of time, or something in the UK or anywhere in the world, really. But it's something where they're going to be doing something useful for the rest of the world, making a bit of a difference. We have a fund that they can apply to. We don't pay all of their costs, but we help them with their costs. And we help them to fundraise themselves. So this event is the money that we make will actually top up that fund so that we can support another generation of students this summer in going off to do interesting things. In recent years, we've had people go to work in orphanages in different countries. We've had people go and help build schools in Africa. We've had people go to India. We have a partnership with an Anglican college out there, and they've worked with the people in the Anglican college to support a nearby deaf school. So all kinds of things that generally you think, well, that's a really good thing for somebody to want to do. Students don't have a lot of money. They need a bit of help to go and do something like that.
That was Professor Muriel Robinson, the Vice-Chancellor of Bishop Grotesque, talking to me about their Burns Night celebrations.
Siren 107.3 FM.
That's all for this week on Food for Thought. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you know of any cafes or restaurants in Lincoln who should be on this show, then let me know. All you need to do is head to the Siren website, which is sirenonline.co.uk, and click on Food for Thought. And there you can find my email address, or you can tweet us using @SirenFM. Whilst you're on the website, you can also listen to everything from the show again, if you'd like to. But to end the programme this week, I spoke about Burns Night earlier, so it only seems fitting to play some of the Proclaimers. This is I'm Gonna Be. Enjoy and have a good week.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you.